I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Loud noises!
I know kung fu.
This is madness!
Where are you?
Hey everyone, and welcome to the 8-Bit Geek Podcast. This is episode 110 of the greatest show on the internet. We know that because our moms said it was true. So, we know that. It is 100%. I am Jeremy, and with me are my two cute little snooter duels ever. Yes, you are. Who's the cute little guy sitting across from me on the internet? Who are you? Oh, you do a good job.
It's Doug!
And Kevin.
Well, Kevin, what's wrong?
I woke up with poop.
What's up with the little poop outside?
You got a little diaper, but not the good kind.
You got the little poo poo in your diaper? You got the little poo poo in your diaper?
That's going to go on for another hour there. That's the podcast, everyone. Jeremy talking baby talk. He's going to do the misconnection in the baby talk. Do movie news and baby talk.
Yep.
Who's a good little Captain America?
Who's a good little guy?
If you enjoy baby talk, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean, or on Stitcher Radio. You can also follow us on social media at the 8-Bit Geek on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also support us on Patreon. And all those wonderful links you can find right on our website. It is also PAC Month, and we need to do something for this week. We want to let everyone know, hashtag PAC Month on social media. It's where we all get together, play some Pac-Man, and recognize the boy in yellow.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm going to be streaming some Pac-Man Tuesday night, about probably 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay.
Tuesday night, so we're going to get together with that hashtag Pac-Man. Most likely, I'm trying to find the worst Pac-Man game to play, so it looks like it's going to be Pac-Man Adventures 2.
Ooh, exciting. Okay, so anybody also, we're going to give away a game. I'm going to give away the BioShock Triple Pack. It's going to have BioShock 1, 2, and 3 in there. So if you've never played it or if you want that collection, all you have to do is hashtag Pac-Month. And get creative, get involved, send a tweet out, send a Facebook message out, something with Pac Month in it. Let us know how you feel about it, and I will pick a winner this week.
Nice.
Yeah. So, other than that,
so who's going to do the little
I guess I should probably tell you guys my Twitch information, just in case you don't know.
twitch.tv/KevinWK.
So that's where you can find me playing Pac-Man.
Yeah. And also that's on our website. It's on the main menu. It'll say Twitch, 8-Bit Twitch, and it'll have the link to his Twitch page, just in case you need it.
Yeah, I also think we have embedded video, so it should also...
It plays on the site, yeah.
It'll also play there, too. So there is that also.
Yeah. So you can watch it from the website.
Yep. And you can watch me on my website, www.whitechocolategetdownonthisbrowntownchoochootraintownbrown.com.
Wow.
That's a really long URL.
It is, but it's very specific. It's what
I do. It
must
have been open. It must have been free.
Yeah. I pay $1 a year.
There you go. Can't argue with that.
That's right. And it's really easy to remember. So,
what was it again?
It is www.whitechocolatebrowntownshakeydowntotrowntraintracksbrown.com.
I don't think that was the same.
No, that was the same. You maybe
it's like
missed
that episode of the IT
one.
Guys where they turned over the number to 911, and it was like
99998. They took the song. One.
That's great. I have missed you, gentlemen. It's been a week. We had a week where we released two shows, and we had a great interview last week with the guys over at We Play Games.
We talk games.
God damn it.
I feel like at this point you're just like doing it on purpose.
All right, that one was done on purpose.
Wiggly is cringing right now.
Oh. That one was done on purpose.
We got to talk to Kyle and Wiggly from We Talk Games, and it was fantastic.
Let us talk and play games.
Let us talk and play games. .org.gov. Now, those dudes are super cool, and I had a blast talking with them. And they're pretty much the guys heading PAC Month, so
yeah, and so go check out the interview on our podcast as well and get to know them and go check them out at www.wetalktankturugames.com.
But we talk.
We talk tank talk.
We talk
brown, white, and chocolate.
We talk.
I still
in tank
remember
tops.
The first time I came on this show, and you kept calling me Kevin KW.
I remember that, and then I'm like, it took me like a couple episodes to be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, my bad. If I don't have it in front of me, then I sometimes may forget because I have like a million things thinking about. Like I'm thinking about when I should go to the next section and what we're going to talk about. And of course, what fucking voice I'm going to use in Miss Connections. Boy sees girl. Boy is interested in girl. Boy awkwardly stares at girl from across the room. Boy never approaches girl. Girl leaves. Boy swears they are meant for one another. Boy turns to Craigslist for help finding girl. 8-Bit Geek steps in. Welcome to Miss Connections. I really like that intro.
Really like you.
I really like you. Do you like me?
That's
though?
How we start a Miss Connection right now.
You want to go? Is that what you're saying? Because I got the music for what you need.
There we go. Start really loud, turn it real down. That's how you get it going.
Shh, quiet. And now. Listen, we're professional here, okay?
Consummate professionals.
We know everything going on. All right, so this week we have three wonderful, wonderful misconnections. I know everyone loves this segment. And I think that, Doug, you're going to go first here. Is that right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think Sean's going to
Sean Penis.
Oh, good to see Sean Penis back.
Did you guys get his picture?
Yeah, we got his picture. I thought about putting it on Facebook and Twitter, but I thought it might be racist.
Was it racist?
That was so racist.jpg.
Oh, my gosh. No, he'll be in the show notes.
He'll always be in the show notes somewhere.
Yeah. All right, let's get Sean out here.
I need to have a knock.
Yeah, no, we need like a drop for this, like a ding dong.
Ding dong.
Oh, hey guys.
Is it time for my weekly reading?
I'm here with the 8-Bit Geek to read my missed connections. This week comes from Missoula. The burning angel of my heart.
Hey, Sean, I just want to say that you sure get around a lot. How do you afford all this travel?
Wouldn't you like to know?
That's what I'm asking.
I write these missed connections, and I'm also a gigolo.
Oh, no.
So I travel. I answer a lot of these ads, personal ads on Craigslist.
But wait, so you're writing them and then answering them as well?
Yes.
Your backstory is really getting pretty complex.
I was fine with watching you from afar, loving you from a distance.
A weirdo.
I had made peace with it being just that. But then you went and gave me hope, and when I contacted you, you said you would get back to me. Now I am confused.
Oh,
did you change your mind? All I know is I really miss seeing your sweet face and that wonderful smile of yours. You make me feel young and fully of hopefulness.
What?
Sometimes I get too excited and I make a lot of fucking typos.
And you write with your penis.
Whoa, man. I love just feeling the energy when I'm near you.
From afar.
I guess what I'm saying is thank you for being the one that made me dream again. Mm. And if you change your mind... Well, hold on.
What?
What? What does this say?
What?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the fuck I wrote here. And if you change your mind, My tour offer still stands. I don't know. I mean, my first offer still stands. I don't fucking know.
Your penis is getting off the rails.
Yeah, for real, man. Get a control of that dick.
Oh, here we go. It looks maybe more sense when you go a little bit farther along. Still stands, and having some wine where would be great too. So apparently I'm fucking drunk when I wrote this. What else is new? One more thing. I think your intelligence is so attractive, you lovable geek. Aww. Yours truly, Sean Pennis.
I love how you sign off every letter.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. We appreciate Sean. You.
Yes, I'll be back.
Sean. All right, so I'm up. It's a very short one, but the voice I'm going to use here, a little aggressive, but this guy, so you all know that there's this announcer guy who goes and does the whole monster truck rallies. Well, it seems like he's missing someone this week. So, watch, I'm going to fuck it up now.
Yeah,
I did it in pre-show with Doug, and he's like, you got it. And I was like, wait, just wait. All right.
Sunday. Short-haired female Harry Potter at Comic-Con. Male for woman. Seems like you got a glance at me on the Jumbotron a few times in a flirty way. But you didn't have the courage to talk to you. Ha 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 ha. This Sunday. Are you single?
That's it.
An action-packed misconnection right there.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a little intense. She probably won't respond.
No, I don't think she will.
Please respond. You can see all your favorite monster trucks. Grave Digger, Bigfoot, and RoboCop.
Oh, man. I don't even know how to approach this one.
He didn't even care about mine. He's already moved on.
It's got the perversions of a Walmart.
Kevin.
All right.
He's not even acknowledging me.
Oh, we were just... I thought you were done with your Sunday.
You run the shit. Go ahead, man.
I'm just so confused by this one. Like, I was trying to pre-read it, and I'm just like, what the fuck? You know you're doing something when you throw me off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one.
You smell so good. Butthole, winky face, women for man.
And it's a woman.
Yeah. Oh, that's a woman? Well, shit. Okay, I had a few two Marlboros in my day.
There you go. Like, stick with that voice. It's too late to change it now.
Marlboro Reds. 27, I'm from Beaverton.
No, it's even worse than
Beavertown. All right, here. Calm down, you sissies. I used the words butthole too much when I saw you last. I hate how things were left. You seemed so angry, and I was tired and should have left earlier. I don't like staying my welcome. Hell, I feel bad for all the things that came out of my mouth about my problems. Things are better now, though. Except for that. I've been single for 2 months now, and I only think of you. You are lovely. I just want to press your body on mine. Your fingers in my chest hair.
You're a woman.
It's a little problem I've had. That's the one problem I didn't want to go out of my mouth. That first night I came over was New Year's Eve, and you looked down at me and talked about how you loved my eyes. Later called me an angel. Made me feel like one too. I want to take naughty photos with you. I want you to use me. Tell me what to do in the bedroom. So wonderful. I want to touch your bald head against my bald head. Feel your tongue. Look into your sexy ass eyes.
Your ass.
And hear you talk. Hear you talk to me more about X-Men and comic book heroes. Invite me over, butthole.
Shit. She has better. She's gonna get this.
Oh, your emphasis on sexy ass eyes.
Your sexy ass eyes.
Looks like I got two full butt cheeks in each eye.
Oh, they've definitely got a brown eye.
Oh. My eyes are brown because they say I'm full of shit.
You're sexy ass eyes.
That did it. That did it for me. Oh my god.
I didn't realize that was a woman until you guys told me. I think that made the sense we needed.
Oh my god, sexy ass eyes.
Oh my goodness, that was good.
Especially when she keeps calling them a butthole. It's so fucking funny.
I use the word butthole too much when I saw you last. With your sexy...
If that doesn't win him over, I don't know what does.
With your sexy ass eyes. Every week we like to ask a question. Last couple weeks we didn't do it because we forgot.
Oh, we had people on the show.
We were pretty busy.
We had other things going on.
But this week, the 8-bit time machine travels back to ask an important question in 8-bit time machine. 8-bit time machine. All right. 8-bit
we gotta time get the machine. We got to get a real drop for that.
8-bit time machine. 8-bit time machine.
Good job, Doug.
Right.
You didn't need me. You guys had that fucking covered.
All right. So this week's question comes from a gentleman who loves this show. His name is Jeremy. And it's me. Okay. So
you could have lied.
What was the first movie that really grabbed you and made you fall in love with film? What is that first film where you just said, this is it for me, I am now an addict? You know, I still can't believe that people out there, when you talk to them, you meet them for the first time, you're at a party or you're at a get-together, and you're like, hey, man, do you watch any films? And they're like, oh, I don't watch too many movies. All of a sudden, you go, I don't have anything in common with this person. I need to leave. But all three of us, obviously, are entranced with film, and there was that one film that really grabbed you and said, you're mine, and now you are addicted to me. So what was it for you guys?
That is a good question. I mean, I grew up watching a lot of movies and stuff, just kind of what my family did, so it's hard to point just to one, because I mean, maybe it was like the Indiana Jones movies. I know I watched those when I was a kid. Jurassic Park was, you know, huge when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. That's a tough question.
I can tell you the first movie in memory that made me really, really, really love what film could do. And, like, I didn't understand it. It scared the shit out of me. It was, of course... I was probably, God, I keep going back to this time, but it had to be when I was about 11 or 12, and I watched Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street. And was I too young to watch it? Of course. But it had everything that I still love to this day. I am in love with special effects. I love practical effects. I love not knowing if it was real or not, and it really grabbed me, and I was like, holy shit, what is this? And I think that's the first film that really, really captured my whole senses. Like, I was just really, really creative. It was really, really great. It had some comedy to it, of course. It was really fucked up, and it scared the bejesus out of me. But it really, really, really kind of solidified this whole film industry for me and made me fall in love with what film is and what it could do.
I could dig it.
Yeah. I have no idea, man. Like, again, my parents, we just grew up watching movies. I mean, like, I don't know the first time I saw Star Wars, because it's one of those films that I literally watched as a young
kid. So you guys can't point... You can't really point to a time in, when you were just like... That one movie, even as a teenager, maybe, where you were just like... I mean, unless you guys were just like so in love with film from an early age, I guess I can get that.
Yeah, I mean, I had, you know, family cameras and stuff growing up, so me and some of my friends were all like at like 7, 8 years old, we're making little short home movies as
we don't want to know about your porn.
No, they weren't. Those were not until I was in my 20s. But the, I don't know, man. There's a lot of movies that I've watched growing up and just been like, yeah, holy shit, that's a fucking movie. Like Shawshank Redemption. I remember watching that one for the first time and being like, that's how you fucking do a movie. Like, that's how you tell a story.
Right, right.
But
yeah, if you're gonna put it that way, like, there's a couple of them that just kind of strike out to me, like, or just stick out to me, because I was a Blockbuster kid. I used to spend all my time just every time, yeah, I got like $3, I'd go to Blockbuster and rent something.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember like one movie comes to mind like that was just like, holy shit, I want to be into horror films, and it was Tales from the Crypt: Demon Night. I remember sneaking into the theater to see that with friends and being blown away by how awesome it was. It was one of those movies. It was like the perfect storm of greatness where you had the comedy, you had amazing, like, you had a great soundtrack, you had some really good actors for it, just great storyline altogether, even albeit cheesy. But I mean, at the time, it was just great all around horror film. So that one kind of got me into horror stuff. So I'd say that one kind of opened my eyes to it and wanted me to get the world of horror in, you know, get into that. So there's that.
Yeah, that's awesome. you reminded me of I don't know why, but I love Tales from the Crypt, the TV show. I watched it every week, and or any time it was on. I don't know, I remember if it was weekly, I think it was, but I remember just watching the shit out of it. But also it spawned a film that was so awesome. Do you guys remember this? Hold on. This is the trailer. I can't. Hold on. Okay, here it is. Do you remember this?
Dead people shit, all right?
Shit, man.
We're doing this shit because this here's business. Now, as soon as we get the shit,
from the hood,
put y'all back and shit. Yeah, I got my shit. That's like killing some shit twice, man.
To refry beans.
Buy that Tales shit from like the
first
hood.
Time. Tales shit. From the Hood was hilarious.
All right, here he is.
Oh, stock of them in the alley. Whoa, 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 whoa. You get it when we get the shit.
The shit.
The shit.
Shit. Drugs. You get the drugs, then I get the money.
Kill that noise, man. Let's just get the shit.
You'll get the shit. You'll be knee deep.
God, that movie. Shit.
That line is one of my favorites.
I think I saw that in theaters too, come to think of it.
Really?
That's the one that you snuck into.
Yeah. That's really the one. That's why he's so gangsta.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
That's why we make them read all the Walmarts.
Yeah.
All right, so we got some movie news to talk about, and lots of it. And by lots, I mean three stories. That's what we got this week.
It's the most spectacular, magnificent, and important news you'll hear all day.
Or not. All right. So we all know that the U.S. is kind of falling a little bit in box office revenue. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. I mean, I think Doug, Kevin, I think you both have an understanding of it, that we do not, as in America, we watch a lot of movies. But
yeah,
we only represent probably $90 to $100 million in box office revenue during a opening weekend of a summer film. And then when we look at the international, you always see international rakes in $200, $300 million, right?
Okay.
And so news just came out that the Chinese box office actually overtook the U.S. for the first time in history for the month of February.
That's pretty awesome.
And with some films that actually had American actors in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy. Like, there's this film that came out called Dragon Blade, starring Jackie Chan, John Cusack, and Adrian Brody.
Why? They made $95 million.
Yeah.
How come we haven't heard about that? That seems like a cool movie. Why?
I want to see that one. If I come to the stateside, I'd see it.
For real.
John Cusack with a samurai sword? Let's do it.
Do you guys ever... I mean, I guess this begs the question. Do you ever think that... we will see kind of like how it is now, where the international market will make bigger and better movies than us and then start bringing them over to the U.S.? Or do you think it'll always be like a U.S. to international kind of relationship? Do you think we'll always have those? Do you think we'll always have, because you can see that it's starting to cater, like Transformers, even though it was a shitty movie, like they went out and shot in China because of the international market. Like they made that a part of the film. It was reported on. Do you ever think that it'll be more or less that they're, that these international markets will get catered to more than at home?
Like I said, I hope so, because then it'll bring up competition. It'll make them rise to the top. Because right now, I mean, it seems like the box office is just cashing in on comic books and reboots. And it's like,
yeah, here in America,
if China's coming out with some like original content, dude, I'd love to see, you know, that means America, if they're behind, they're going to start making some original content too, or at least start greenlighting that stuff. Because, I mean, it's just, I'm getting tired of the same old crap, dude. I'd like to see brand new stuff. And it looks like all these Chinese films that are in the box office, none of them look like they were reboots or, you know, poorly planned sequels.
Yeah, one of them was a sequel.
It's kind of like
The Man from Mako, too.
Yeah. No, that's actually the first movie.
It's G-O-O.
Yeah. It's kind of like the movie industry has moved into what the music industry has been doing for decades. And Doug, you know this probably more than anybody because you were a musician, but most singles and pop artists and pop songs use the same, it's always the same, what's it called? There's four.
Formula?
Yeah, the same formula, and then the same, there's only like, what, four different, they broke it down in a video once. There's actually only.
Producers?
No, not producers.
Well, like the keys and the beats per minute and all that stuff. You see a lot of people use like the same RPMs and stuff. I mean, just.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's stuff that like triggers in people's brains. And it's like they hear it and it makes them feel a certain way. And that sells money. That sells money.
That sells money.
That makes money.
They just it's crazy. Katy Perry released a whole album with only beats per minute on it, and a single din 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 din.
Yeah,
made money. Just made money.
Just raked it in.
And over.
Well, and you have specific keys and stuff. Also, I mean, like you. Like, okay, yeah. So a lot of, like, church songs especially are kind of, like, the same. You'll notice this, like, if you ever go to, like, a church and you hear, like, a lot of, like, the praise music and stuff that's played, a lot of it is, like, it's the same fucking four chords over and over again, and they might just rearrange them. But it's just because they want songs that are, like, in not in a minor key, that are, like, uplifting sounding and then have a very specific, that way it gets everyone involved, sort of, you know, like, singing and stuff.
In a
like
good
you
mood.
Have in a church.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you'll notice that. And there was one song when I used to go to church that they used to blend it into a U2 song, like, seamlessly. Because it was the song was, like, the same chord progression and the same everything. And it was, like, they would use With or Without You or whatever.
Weird. Yeah,
ACDC's been together for 40 years, and it's one band, three chords.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly. They had a, what was it? They did, I think they did it for the last 20 years, I believe. Like, they did a video on YouTube. You can search this, to where they took every single song and it's the same four chords, just rearranged differently, every hit song on the radio. And it was really interesting to watch. And I was just like, holy shit, this formula is nuts.
This is where we would benefit from having Nick on the show, where he'd be able to break it down as to why that happens and why they do it. Since that's his, you know.
Yeah.
That's his expertise. That's, he's probably listening to this right now going like, shut the fuck up, you guys. You don't know
you don't know what
about.
You're talking about. But the only reason why.
Fan letter.
The only reason why. Well, we'll hear about it on Twitter here in a couple days. But the only reason why I brought it up is just the fact that the comparison of what film is doing is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously we're not experts on music or anything like that. So.
But yeah, the movie industry has done essentially the same thing. They've found a formula that works, that makes them a lot of money, and they keep doing it over and over again. Which, to some, I don't know, like, the superhero movies are fun because they lend themselves to a lot of different stories, and people like comic book characters anyways, and we live in a time where you can really make a good comic book movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And comic books lend themselves very well to television and film, so it's that's not bad. But, and then, you know, Kevin, you're saying that there's not a lot of original stuff out there. Like, yes and no. Blockbuster-wise, no. But there's a lot of great original movies out there. And I think movies like Boyhood and Birdman and stuff like that prove that every year we're getting some fucking phenomenal movies coming out. Not That's American true. Sniper. No. But you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean, though, and that's true. That is. I mean, it's like music. If you look in deeper into music, I mean, all if you keep it on one radio station, you're going to hear the same songs. But if you open your mind and put your ear to the ground, you're going to hear a lot more better right. music out there. Mm-hmm. It's just you got to really search for it, and that's how it is with movies, too. You know, if you just go to the theater and just decide what you're going to go see there, most likely you're not going to see a great movie, or at least something original.
And I'll tell you what, there's an original movie that came out a couple weeks ago called Kingsman, The Secret Service. And I was blown away by that. Like, I want more movies. Even though it was an action movie, it still
based
had
on a comic book.
Yeah, I mean, it was still pretty damn clever, and it caught me off guard multiple times. Like, even though that's considered a comic book movie, it still had a ton of originality in it. Like,
it's the same guy that did Kick-Ass. It's Mark Miller.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
So it was such a if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. But. Since we're talking about superheroes and all this other shite, AMC and Regal have come up with a crazy promotion. They're doing an ultimate Marvel marathon leading up to Avengers Age of Ultron. It is 29 hours of films, 11 movies in one sitting. And so
$65 a person.
$65 a person. Here's where it starts. It starts at 6 p.m. with Iron Man, and it runs through until 7 p.m., where you're going to watch The Avengers Age of Ultron. And that's 7 p.m. the following day.
The next day.
Yeah.
So you will literally be in the theater watching Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor, Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's it. And for $65, that better come with some free popcorn.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, how
do they feed you?
Man,
are they gonna feed you? Or are they gonna
better come with a pillow?
you're gonna have to take a nap. Are they gonna do? And it looks like here. Let me see. Look at this. And it looks like it's all back to back. There are no breaks.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Breaks. I guess you're just like, okay, so I don't give a shit about. Four or something, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna go to sleep.
So I'm gonna go home and shower during.
I'm gonna go home at 1 a.m. and I'm gonna come back at 5:30 a.m. to catch the Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm gonna skip Thor and Cap 1.
Yeah. We'll pick up later.
And then leave after Iron Man 3 and come back at 1:45 to catch Cap 2.
Dark World wasn't that bad. It was much better than the first Thor.
I'm just looking at this list going, what movies can I miss because I can go home and or get food or shower or shit?
That's what I wonder, too. I wonder if they'll let you leave and come back. That's I wonder a good otherwise question. You're confined to the theater.
I wonder if they're just like, well, you paid us $65, so I don't give a shit what you do.
That's my thinking, is that, like, that's a long fucking time. That's a day.
Yeah.
People, I don't know, man.
I mean, when your parents drop you off and pick you up the next day,
they'll, you know, there's
nobody
people,
with a job is going
to
do
hey,
this.
Hey, listen, there people will do this. Do you remember going to those lock-ins when you were a kid doing like roller skating rinks and stuff?
Keyword kid.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Who you think is going to take advantage of this marathon?
Kids. You're not kids really and teenagers. Kids in there for 29 hours.
Listen.
That would teenagers. Be somebody's personal hell.
I think you'd get a lot of. I think this will sell out, and I think it'll do really well. And I think that you're going to see a lot more of this kind of stuff in the future. I think a lot of teenagers are gonna line up for this. Hell, I even contacted one of my buddies. I was like, "You ready?" And he was like, "I'll need a lot of pee breaks, but let's do it."
Are you doing it?
I thought about it, but I don't have the time. I just don't have the time.
Yeah,
I have a family and a kid, so.
Yeah, and the fact that it's a Wednesday, it's like a Wednesday and a Thursday. I mean, and at that point, you're also going to be like, well, okay, I guess I'm taking Friday off too, because after that, you're going to sleep for 48 hours.
Yeah.
And your body's going to be so full of sugar from, you're going to need candy to stay awake.
And popcorn and shitty food and icies and candy. Oh, you're and then sitting in like shitty ass chairs, unless it's those recliners that the AMC theaters now have.
Yeah. Did you see that photo?
At that point, just bring a blanket and go to bed. Then you're like,
that's
what I'm
saying, yeah.
Did you see the photo? Did you see that photo? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That thing. Have you been down there?
Snoring going on.
Doug, I wish I'd... I don't know why. I didn't even think about inviting you, but I should have, because you would have really enjoyed that. That was quite impressive for a theater. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So
that's the one downtown.
Yeah, that's the new one.
Yeah.
So, well, not new one, but they renovated it, and I would love to go there over going to Movie Tavern now because of the seats. Like, I don't even care about the food at Movie Tavern because it's gotten so expensive. Yeah. It's like they have a burger there. It used to be okay, so it went from like $7 for a burger up to $9, and now it's $11.50 for their burger. I'm just like, good lord. And I think that they charge like $4 now for a Coke. So it's gotten insane. So they really pride themselves in their seats are broken too. So fuck you. Fix your shit.
There's a lot of theaters out here that are getting a lot better with that stuff. Like, it's really a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Something that I'm really enjoying too. Jada Pinkett Smith doesn't think that she'll be back for Gotham season 2.
Oh, boo.
And some people are sad about it, like Kevin, and some people are really happy, like me. So either she's a character that a lot of people like, or a lot of people just meh, don't care for. And for me, I always felt that from the beginning, her character was overplayed. I think she overplayed it. I think they miscast it. Even though she is a badass, like some points I feel like, holy shit, she's like, she nailed it this week. A lot of the weeks, it just doesn't come off like that for me, anyways.
Well, if you're saying that they should have recast it, who would you think would be a good recast for Fish Mooney?
I don't know, man. I don't have a name off the top of my head. I'd really have to think about it, but I don't know. And you know what? Maybe she would be great at it if she's already committed, right? So the way that she's playing it, in the beginning it was really over the top, and then she toned it down a bit after a couple episodes. And I think that she just couldn't tone it down. I think if she came at it just a little less like she did, I don't know. I just feel like it's not played correct. I think it's just overdone. So I think that I think she'd be great at it because she has been great at it some weeks. But some weeks and this week, I watched last week's episode where she did something to her eyeball. And even that was like over dramatic. And I was just like, oh, come on.
I didn't see that one yet. I'm still a couple episodes behind. But either way, I mean, I think she's playing it great. I think, especially it's an original character. So, I mean, there's really no backstory she had to study on. She kind of just had to wing it, and I think she did a pretty fantastic job. She's got this, you know, kind of like badass, I don't need anybody kind of attitude. And she's surviving, man. She's a scrapper. Like, I'm pretty much into the season where she's trapped underground and she kind of takes over that area. Mm-hmm. And I think she's doing a fantastic job. So, I don't know. I mean, it just differs, I guess.
Yeah, I think she's all right. I'm with Jeremy on the, I think that she started off too over the top and her character was just kind of
now she's
in the way.
She's
just an obstacle for the Penguin. I'm curious to see what they're doing with her now. But I can tell you that when we were at New York Comic Con and we went to the panel for that, they kind of alluded to her not already coming back for season two that early. That they kind of... During the question segment, someone asked, was it a coincidence that you guys named her Fish when that's what penguins eat? And the creators just kind of smiled and chuckled. We're like, someone's paying attention.
Yeah, and I think that at this point, like, we're all ready to see Penguin kind of step up and be that feared character. I think that we've seen him now enough being the cowering kind of guy. I think we're ready for a big turnaround, because we're going to need to see that soon for him to start taking control and actually...
We saw him in the recent episode. I know, Kevin, you're not quite up to date, but we saw him be fucking ruthless recently.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He did some shit where I went, oh, my God. Like, that is a change for him, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, more of that, please.
I think that we need to see that, and I think that him taking out Fish Mooney will probably be that turnaround point to where he's permanent.
It's got to happen, obviously.
Yeah, I'm okay with them ending her storyline or maybe even if they don't even end it, maybe she just straight up disappears for a season or something. You know, like, they, who knows? Yeah. Maybe she's not coming back for season two. Maybe she's coming back for season three. You know what I mean?
I hope we get that far. It is Fox.
Yeah. And I think
it is Fox, and it is getting, like, mediocre reviews, but I know that the reason that they are getting a second season is because they struck up a deal with Netflix to have the exclusive rights to the show the second it ends on Fox. It's supposed to go straight to Netflix.
Nice.
I'm hoping what happens is that they just give it to fucking Netflix. Netflix is fucking killing it right now on the TV shows. Let them have Gotham. They're about to start, like, with Daredevil starts next month. And, from what I've seen in the trailers and from what we saw at New York Comic Con, like, holy shit, this show's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. So. I think the biggest hurdle here is Gotham is starting to kind of step into the territory that I would put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is... they start kind of this really interesting storyline and there's no payoff at the end. And I think we're waiting for that payoff with Gotham. And I really hope that it's incredible. And I hope that it ends with a bang and it really gets people like excited. Cause I really like the show. Like I said, in the beginning, I wasn't a huge fan of it. And then all of a sudden I really started getting warmed up to it, and now it's one of the shows that's definitely in my rotation that I really enjoy watching. I just hope that it doesn't get stuck in a perpetual, like, just middle of the road storytelling. I really hope that some big shit goes down.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, they notice. I mean DC notices these things. They need some kind of hit besides Arrow, of course.
Well, Arrow and Flash, man, they I think they know how to do it right. I mean, the writers over there, they give you this rush every episode while telling the big overarching story, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we talked about last week, I mean, they're about to give them a fucking third show. It looks like another spinoff with people from both shows together. And then we they just showed off Supergirl this week. They showed off her costume.
They did.
That's CBS, but what do you guys think of it?
I thought it was pretty awesome.
I think it looks great.
I liked it a lot. I'm really kind of glad with the way that they went, where it looks similar to the movie's color scheme a little bit. Mm-hmm. I like the more muted colors more than like the super bright, red and blue, because it makes it a little less like I kind of hate that Superman for the longest time has kind of been like the Boy Scout, the American Boy Scout, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Sort of. And so I like that in the movies. They kind of made it like a dark maroon and a dark blue because it kind of made it less patriotic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
And it's the same designers. It's the same designers as the same designer who designed the Flash and the Arrow outfit designed this one. So.
Yeah. And
I like that there's no skin on the legs. I like that they didn't like try to go sexy with it.
It's exactly what I was going to say. I love that it is not over sexualized. I like that they did not, because that's a huge issue with female comic book characters to begin with. Is that in the comics and stuff, a lot of them are a lot of revealing skin and over sexualized for no reason. Especially her when she's supposed to be a teenager. It's kind of like
So
I know that the actress is well over age, but she's supposed to be like 16 years old.
Okay, so check this out. Jason, who used to have a podcast on our show, I sent him the photo and I said official shot, and then he goes, saw this horrible first photo, and I said, oh,
of course he did.
And I said I liked it. He goes, I'm not talking about the suit. I go, you mean quality? And this is his response: the photo, the pose, the girl looks the same quality as a Halloween costume from Walmart. I said, all right, man. Well, it's going to be a cool show. So that was his response. I thought that was pretty interesting. So there's that.
Yeah.
I can see the anchor in Doug's beard growing.
Oh, yeah.
My it's beard straightening
is
out.
It's just, no, it's not straightening out. It's billowing out. It's like coming little tentacles. It's like, stop.
So
you're
down,
not gonna choke him
down.
Today, Beard.
You'll get your revenge.
don't worry,
it's coming.
You'll have your revenge.
I want to Photoshop your beard and put it behind him, and then just put soon. All right. Every week we take a look at the top box office five hits to let you know what's ruling in the world of film. Number 5 is the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, piece of shit, making $7 million for a total of $148 in 5 weeks. Number 4, I'm so happy it's going to make over $100 million because we're going to get a sequel to The Kingsman, The Secret Service. Mm-hmm. Go see this film. Go see it. And number 3 is a movie that just got released that I had no idea was released. The second best exotic Marigold Hotel, making $8.6 million. Number 2 is Focus in its second week, making $10 million. Will Smith is officially not a box office guarantee anymore. I believe the last few films he's made, the last 3, have failed at the box office. This one only pulling in $34 million total in the last 2 weeks. And number 1, I Am Chappie. You Chappie. making $13 million. I'm kind of sad about it because I did go see it, and I'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Well, you talked about this before the show. Like, what a shitty fucking week for movies. If the number one movie in the box office only made $13 million, this is why China is beating us.
That's right. Let's get our shit together, America.
Also, let's all rejoice for a moment that 50 Shades of Grey was not in the top
5.
Dude,
that has fallen fast.
In its fourth week, it was not in the top 5.
People I'm so glad. Yeah, we got over it real quick, but...
Bring back American Sniper.
Like, you know, it's made more than The Kingsman, which came out the same weekend. But I remember everyone was like, why would you put The Kingsman out up against 50 Shades of Grey? And I think that they did a smart thing because they went like, we know this movie's going to be in the top box office a lot longer than that fucking movie is.
And it is.
They may have made more money in like the first weekend, but we're going to probably make more in the long haul.
Yep. DVD sales, bitch. Yep. It'll probably become a cult hit. A cult hit, I bet. So.
Oh, yeah.
Every week we take a look at some gaming as well. We talk some games with the controller, and your little controller that you put in your hands. You put your little controller in your hands and you play it. Yes, you do. It's a little gaming. So, guys, oh my god, Valve. What fucking... Holy shit, man. They really have gone above and beyond in my eyes this year at the GDC. Whew. They announced... Not only did they announce the new partnership with HTC, I think we talked about on last week's show. Mm-hmm. A couple days later, after the show, they went ahead and introduced something called Steam Link, which is a $50 device that you can plug into your TV and stream your games with very low to and little latency and 1080p, 60 frames per second over your Wi-Fi to anywhere in your home on any HD TV. Like, that's insane.
Available in November.
And available in November. I'm really excited about that. I'm going to get one because I have a lot of co-op games that I'd like to play with my son. I can hook up. It comes with, I think it comes with 2 USBs on the back of it and 1 on the front, so you can hook up controllers to it. But it also, for an extra $50, you can, for $100, you can get the Link and you can get the Steam controller. Mm-hmm. So.
It looks good too. They really enhance that controller. Like from the prototype to what it's coming out now, they made a lot of people happy with it.
And a lot of people who did test it, obviously it felt weird at first, but they said that, holy shit, the precision controls that you can get out of touchpads on a controller are insane. And not only touchpads, but more, I mean, it's not like a screen. It is a physical controller and physical touchpads. Right. And it just, your thumbs are the mouse pointers, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, but they also announced Source 2. So that leads us to believe that we are finally going to get Half-Life 3, right?
Come on now. Now, the funny thing is people are joking on the internet and they're like, oh, great, Source 2. That means they'll never announce Source 3. One of my favorite things. I don't really know. I don't think it was really Gabe Newell, like, being interviewed for this, but at one point he was just, you know, some guy saying, as Gabe Newell, they're like, I just get really tired of people, you know, saying, you know, Half-Life 3 worth the wait. W-E-I-G-H-T, because he's fat.
Aww.
He's like, every time someone mentions Half-Life 3, I push the development back 3 months.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
Yeah, I saw some stuff before their press conference, because it was on the 3rd, and they were like, 3-3 at 3 p.m.? Could this be it? Like,
if Gabe Newell just would have came out and just thrown up like the 3 and walked away, like chairs would have been broken over people's heads.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, they wouldn't have to show anything. He would just walk out, show a logo, and walk off, and people would lose their shit.
That's all it would take.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you'd have to do is just an announcement and a logo and that, and then people, and then you're like, well, all right, we got another year of development, so at least
people. Hey, at least if they gave some kind of time frame, I don't care if it was 5 years of development, at least to know that it exists and to finally confirm it is good enough for me. Mm-hmm. And now that they confirmed Source 2 engine, I really hope that means they're getting really back into the game developing, because there's so many sequels they can be doing. They could do Half-Life 3, Left 4 Dead 3, Portal 3. I mean, there's so many. Team Fortress 3, even. You know, and
Portal
just, so
3.
Much they can do. The thing is, they don't have to do it at this point because Gabe Newell's like one of the richest people on Earth now because of Steam. So right. It's like he doesn't have to do it, but it would be, you know, kind of like a favor to the fans.
You know, I really think that I bet you anything, when Steam VR comes out, they're going to have. They're probably going to now. I bet you all this is going to tie in together. Steam VR is going to tie into Source 2, which is then going to tie into, of course, Half-Life 3. All of it is a waiting game at this point. I think once everything is in place, then they'll announce it and be like, it all works with everything that we do here. Mm-hmm. They also announced some Steam machines, but those things, they're ranging anywhere from, I think, $300 all the way up to $2,000. And I don't think that it's... I still don't think that it is... I don't know, man. I don't think that anyone's going to be willing to spend $2,000 or even $1,000 on a Steam living room PC. I just don't see it happening.
You'd be surprised. I mean, people have money. Look how many people buy Alienware to this day. I mean, that's really... And those go by the same price.
Yeah, but those are still full working computers that are, you know, meant for... You know, you hook up to your monitors and whatnot, and then you might use a TV hooked up to it as a secondary to play games on. But I just don't think, like, in the living room, you know, at least for me, I'd be like, okay, if I'm going to spend $2,000 on a computer, it's going to do a lot more than just play my video games.
But the thing is, you know how to build computers. Not a lot of people do. Or a lot of people do, but not a lot of consumers know how to build computers. They wouldn't even know that a $2,000 computer that, you know, Valve... I mean, it's not even... Valve isn't selling them. They're kind of just throwing out their Steam OS to it. But, I mean, these companies that are making these computers, if you made them yourself, you would save so much more money. You could probably make the same system between $800 to $1,400 for a $2,000 system that they sell. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's you build it yourself, you save money, or you buy a pre-bought, you know, setup, and you just enjoy it. And a lot of rich people will buy pre-bought setups and just enjoy it.
True story. True story. Another company came out and said that, hey, we have a new engine, and guess what? We just made it free. Unreal Engine 4 went free, and... Mm-hmm. It's a really cool deal. You can build games for iOS, Xbox, PlayStation, Android, Windows, OS X 10. I mean OS X 10, OS X, and Linux. And it's crazy. It is. All you're going to have to do is you pay 5% royalty on your gross revenue, and then and that's after the first $3,000. So
yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Isn't the Unreal Engine, didn't that build that one game that everyone lost their minds over?
Gears of War?
Built Flappy Bird.
Oh, yeah. No. That they did an example, or maybe they did. I know that Unreal went ahead and did, Epic Games went ahead and did like a sample and said, here, this is what you can build in 10 minutes using our software. And they built Flappy Bird, a clone, pretty much.
Yeah. But think how much money that made, just on advertisements alone.
But you can make the next Flappy Bird, and you could be a millionaire. So I downloaded it. I'm gonna start playing around with it, and and I'll probably build nothing. But hey, I'm gonna try something.
Yeah, that's cool. That's actually, we should make an 8-bit geek game.
Hell fucking yes! Oh my god, we should. where you...
why not?
Yeah, let's do it. And I have somebody, I have an artist who went ahead, I went ahead and contacted her, and she said for $20 she'll make us full body sprites. So
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I've been waiting and thinking because of our con stuff, and I thought maybe of like doing Doug as like a big Viking with muscles and stuff, and I thought about like putting me in like a NASA suit or something, and then have I was thinking about it today, and then I thought about Kevin. Of course, just being his boxers, but
that's about right. Did you guys see the picture that Ryan commissioned out for me for my birthday?
I did, man. That looks awesome.
It's on my Facebook profile. That is awesome. Because at one point, Ryan, I don't know if he's still doing it, but he's programming a game about my unboxing character. And so that was what the character is supposed to look like. But the guy he had do it was, let me get his name there. It was, God, bollocks. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was super cool for doing it, and it just looks amazing. And I got that hanging up at home, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Guys, it's time to get the band back together.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I was waiting for, God, okay.
Did we talk about this last week, didn't we?
We talked about it, I think we talked about a little bit of speculation. Did we talk about it last week?
A little bit, not necessarily any dates or anything, but that I think it, like, maybe it was speculated, like, hey, so Rock Band may be coming back, because I think I remember you asking, hey, is this dead? And I went, yes. And Kevin said, no, I love this game. I have more one point I had more plastic instruments than real instruments.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. Good memory. But they have officially announced it. Rock Band 4 is on the way this year for the Xbox One and PS4. It will work with all of your old equipment. And every single song that you have ever purchased will be playable. It's their catalog is over 2,000 songs.
Interesting.
And the new guitars and drums and everything will be actually made by Mad Catz. So if you don't have any, you can still buy them. And I'm pretty sure that they'll come as a set. And it is very cool. And by the way, they still won't have guitar straps. So, in the game,
guitar straps.
Yeah, like if you ever noticed in the old games, all the guitarists didn't have straps. They didn't have straps.
Really,
hooked
I never noticed that.
And one of the game producers says it's too many resources to dedicate to put a strap on it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? How many resources does it take to be like, all right, well, this stays here.
Yeah, it almost becomes like just part of the character, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously you can set like a point to the shoulder to where it goes, all right, well, it attaches here and then goes around. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that, but hey.
Lazy-ass programmers.
Yeah. Once again, I'm just happy that they're actually like trying to bring over every previously purchased song, because I had so many.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so when it comes
cool
out,
knock that out again.
When it comes out, you'll have to bring all your songs to Texas with you for Alamo City.
Alamo City Rock Band night.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. We'll live stream it from the hotel room.
We'll bring it to Doug's house before we drive down to San Antonio.
Yeah, so Doug can.
Doug, here's for your brand new baby, rock and roll.
And then we'll be like, all right, we got to go have fun, enjoy feeding that little. That little guy. Have fun.
No,
little
not
little
again.
Guy. He's going to eat all the food while we go down and look at all the boobies.
There's boobies?
At Alamo City. Yeah.
He's suddenly like, I want to go.
Yeah, let's go now. What are we waiting for?
Yeah. See you, Mom. They just said there's going to be tits, so I got to go.
I got it. It's TNA.
I heard Leanna Vamp's going to be there.
Oh man!
Oh my God! So your son is gonna be, from New Jersey?
Yeah, no, you know how it is, man. I mean, it's just it likes the tits, you know.
He comes out, he's like, "Hey, where am I? Huh? I was supposed to be coming out in New Jersey, but it looks like Texas. Ah, shit."
Hopefully, he doesn't call everyone butthole.
His first words, butthole.
Oh, not even the cute way, but butthole.
Hey guys, I'm really, really upset right now because EA has went ahead and killed another studio that we have all grew up with, which is Maxis.
Yep.
They, it's, we had a tweet from one of the employees that were like, it's not quoted word for word, but it said, "Well, it's been a lovely 12 years. It's time to lock up the doors and slide the key underneath the mat." And I was just like, oh, man. That's so sad because it's, I mean, like, we grew up kind of with the Sim Cities, and I wish that the studios had a little more creative freedom, and I think that the latest Sim City would have been a huge hit like before. So
had it not have all those offline problems.
And then not being able to expand your maps. I mean, they were tiny maps to begin with, and like it just it just sucked. Not being able to mod. I mean, everything of course was in game purchases, and so
Typical EA.
Yeah, but it looks like from what I'm reading, so they shut down. Okay, because obviously they purchased Maxis, and that's number one mistake, is selling yourself to EA. Yeah. But it does look like they are relocating the development, the Maxis development team, to its other offices in Redwood Shores, California, Salt Lake City, Helsinki, and still, Melbourne, the Australia.
The name's important, I think. You know.
Oh no, for sure, and it kind of that's. That's kind of a bummer. It's kind of like when LucasArts kind of shut down its gaming, right? You know, it was like the same thing where it's like, what the fuck, guys? Seriously?
That was a sad day in gaming.
But then it's like, well, no, LucasArts is still around. We're just doing development. We don't do
publishing.
We don't program and stuff. We
they're just publishing the stuff.
Yeah, essentially. I figure what it was. Like all their games, I think, are also now through EA, right? So it's like,
it's
the LucasArts creative team, but EA is the one making the games or whatever this shit is. So,
well,
Maxis, it
happens.
Best of luck to those folks.
But every week we also like to talk about what we watched, what you should be watching, and get some recommendations from the New Jersey babies, huh? Are you a cute little New Jersey baby? Just a cute little New Jersey baby, looking for the. We're good for
Are you watching closely?
Are you watching closely?
Okay. So I watched a film called Chappie. And I do recommend people seeing this film. I know that it got beat up by critics, but I think in this instance the critics are wrong. I did enjoy it. It was full of heart, it was full of action, and it definitely you ended up caring for something that was not real. And they did a great job with the animation. It made it seem like somebody was in a suit, the way that everything was. I just thought it was a great movie. I thought that the characters were so outrageous that they don't work in Hollywood movies at all, but this one, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think that, okay, I think, Kev, you're the one, I think when we started first talking about Chappie, I think that you're the one who let us know, because we saw the trailer, and you told us that it was the band called Die Antwoord.
D-Antword.
Okay. Anyways, after the film, I had to go and watch these videos and listen to this band, and I fucking love them.
Yeah, they're great. They're really weird.
I love them so much. And they played themselves in the film. Like, their Ninja was his actual name. And
Yolandi was the
Was her actual name. And they actually used their tour van as their actual van in the film. And they actually used the clothing that they've used in, like, their music videos and stuff. So it was really, really cool.
So this movie was rated R, is what you're saying.
definitely rated R. I think it was great. I loved the characters. And I really suggest anyone going to see it.
Yeah. I've been wanting to see it. I usually like to wait a couple days after it comes out, unless it's something crazy like Avengers. But like something like this, I'll probably go see it during the week. That way it's a little bit more quiet. You don't have to deal with the jerks of the theater. But it looks fantastic, and I love Dee Antwoord, so I think it's going to work out. Plus, yeah, Neil Blomkamp's amazing, you know.
I don't know how that chick gets her voice so freaking high in those rap songs.
It's super high. Yeah.
And those and you know what? It's actually good rap. Like, it's not, like, bad either. It's so cool.
No. It's like weird rave techno rap.
Yeah, really, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's definitely a good way.
Doug, have you listened to Dee Antwoord yet?
I have not.
Oh my god!
Check out, they're really interesting. I mean, it's obviously an acquired taste, but it takes all the bullshit of rap and like satirize or.
Oh, hold on! Like, I'm gonna play a little bit. Hold on, I'm gonna play one song, and what one? Maybe I'll play Cookie Thumper. You ready? Here we go.
There once was a little girl. What a crush.
Let me fast forward a little bit. Okay, now. Doug, it's so good.
You know what that reminds me of a little bit? Okay, a little bit of MIA and also Lady Sovereign.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. Yeah. I would say the album before this was pretty much their breakout album. Check that out. Forget what it was called, but yeah, Dee Antwoord is pretty amazing. They have some really artistic videos and some really freaky videos.
Yeah.
Things nightmares are made of, and it's fantastic.
Oh yeah, I listen to this whole. I listen to all their top songs going home.
Fatty Boom Boom is a good one. I like the beat to that song. And I Think You Freaky. That's another good one too. Can I do that thing?
Oh, this was in the film. That was in the film, actually.
There you go. Exactly the same as like
one big inbred fuck fest. No, I do not. Okay. Anyways. That's them.
So check out Dee Antwoord.
Yeah, so check them out. And that's my time, folks.
All right. Doug?
There's actually a week where I actually did do a lot of stuff, so I'm trying to figure out what to talk about. Okay, they started a new show on Netflix this Friday called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's by the same people that created 30 Rock, so it's like Tina Fey and people. It is just as fucking zany as like 30 Rock. It is fucking out there. It is hilarious. Like, it's got... You know, I don't know. You guys watch 30 Rock?
I did.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know how, like, sometimes you're just like, what the fuck is happening on the show right now? Like, it's just like, what world do they live in where this is shit like this happens? This is how the show is, where it's like grounded in reality, but then it's sometimes you're just like, this is so fucking ridiculous. It's so funny.
Yeah. I got to put that on my queue. I heard so many good things about it.
Yeah. It's been thoroughly enjoyable. We've been watching that. I picked up. Okay, we'll talk about two games. I got Rayman Legends.
Oh, cool. Good game. Good game.
On Xbox One, because it's one of the games with gold that's free right now. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of fucking fun. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. It's just a good game. Like, I don't know.
Classic side-scrolling goodness.
Yeah.
Beautiful graphics.
Just, exactly. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And then Tomb Raider was free game for the 360.
Ooh, nice. Have you not played Tomb Raider?
Nope.
Oh my god, you're gonna love it.
Easily the best Tomb Raider. Like, they reboot. That's reboots done right.
Hell yeah.
That game is unbelievable. That it's Uncharted, game. But rated M.
It's so good.
Dude, I'm telling you, we were playing last night. One of my buddies was over, and he was like, just watch. Because he's played it, and he was just like, right at the beginning, like, you get pinned down by this guy, and it's like right when you get the gun. And literally, so you try to aim it real quick, and I don't know if I got the shot off in time, so I wrestled with the gun with him, and I shot him in the fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I don't remember that. He's like, I don't know if that's just... if that happens normally, or if you did something different than I did. Because he's like, I don't remember shooting that dude in the head. Because, I mean, he was like, holy shit. Because it's like, not a perfect shot. It's like through his forehead and up, and it's gruesome as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my god, it's been a lot of fun, and it's There was a part yesterday where I was like, okay, yeah, this is fucking Tomb Raider. Like, this is what I, this is it. There it is right here. This is what I remember. Yeah.
This is the way, and they're making another, the sequel to Tomb Raider is going to be exclusive to Xbox One. So there you go. You're going to
and
have
Windows
fun with
PC.
It's coming out sometime this year.
And Windows PC.
Unbelievable game. They did a killer job. And Camilla Luddington, she's the voice of the new Lara Croft.
Dude, I don't know.
Fantastic job, dude. I feel so bad for her in this game. You're going to be, you're going to see. We'll talk about
it. She's had, like, shit for luck, man. Like, the first, like, time you get to play is, or you fall from the thing, and then, like, you get stabbed by a bone, and then you step in a bear trap, and then there's wolves, and then you fall.
So
and then,
you get fucked up.
It's bad luck, Lara.
So, I guess that's really about it. Like I said, I've been playing a bunch of games, like Road Redemption, a fucking ton.
I saw you playing that. I love it. Isn't that a good game?
It's so much fun. And I don't know if you can do multiplayer in that yet, can
you? Not yet. They're going to add it later. There's local multiplayer, but not network multiplayer yet.
Yeah, that's a shame. I wish we could play together.
Yeah, yeah. I actually saw you log on, so I started logging on.
Just yeah, I saw that too. I was like, oh man, can I figure out how to like join his game or anything like that? And it obviously wouldn't let me, but...
Yeah. Road Redemption, for anyone who doesn't know, it's an early access game on Steam, very reminiscent of the Road Rash series. I think it's like $14.99 right now or something.
I think definitely it's been bumped up to $20.
Oh, it's still worth it. For $20, still worth it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of that. So yeah. And I was gonna ask something. I don't remember what. Oh, there's a game that just came out for the Xbox One. I haven't played it yet. But it's the same people that it's Rebellion, so it's the same people that did the Sniper Elite games.
Oh, cool.
And it's their zombie sniper game. Like, they made it at the same time they made their sniper one. And, like, it's out for PC. And I think I have some to give away on Steam, which we will give those away at some point. But they just released it for the Xbox One. And it's the entire trilogy. And I need to pick that up because it looks like so much fun. I love the Sniper Elite games. And throwing zombies in the mix. Oh, my fucking
God. Yeah, you're in.
But I think I've got, like, 3 copies to give away on Steam. So we may do that here soon this week.
Nice. I smell a contest. Good deal, dude. Okay, me, I've been mostly playing this week. I haven't really been watching too much because I'm still trying to catch up with a lot of shows. So I'm still 2 episodes behind on Gotham. Haven't seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week yet. The only show I was able to catch up on this weekend was it's on Comedy Central with the 3 dudes, Workaholics. So I'm caught up on that show, which is hilarious. There was an episode with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, I just saw that one. I just saw that one.
They thought they were getting clones. Yeah. Like Dolph Lundgren was building a clone army.
That was funny.
As far as video games go, man, I started playing The Order this week. And that game, albeit everyone says it's short, it is beautiful. And Jeremy and Doug, you guys watched me play it a little bit, right? Like,
yeah, I did. Game. I was there.
Yeah.
I did not make that stream. That was the one that I said, like, I was like, I'm headed to the gym right now. When I get home, I'll watch. I got home and just went... Like at 9, literally like 9:30, I was out.
Oh man, there's a few things to complain about in that game besides like the length, but it's a beautiful game, definitely worth checking out. Like I said, it's like watching a movie at times. It's really good. I played that, and then I did some time in what was the other one
that you streamed?
Oh yeah, I played Lisa this week. Lisa is a very interesting game. It looks like the game Earthbound, but it's a side scroller RPG. Very weird and very M-rated and perverted. Apparently,
very vulgar.
Yeah, very vulgar. It takes place in some kind of desolate future where there's no women, and out of nowhere, like you find this baby and you raise this baby girl to be, like, you know, just to, you know, just raise her, and she leaves the camp one day. And you go searching for her, and like every guy out there is trying to find her so they can, like, you know, have their way with her, and you're trying to save her because you raise her like your daughter. And it's a really weird game. Strange soundtrack. The dialogue is hilarious. Like, just everything about it. We were all just playing. I played it for a good 2 hours on stream the other night, and we were all just like, what the fuck were you playing?
Yep. That was hilarious. That's the stream I did watch.
Yeah. So that was a good one. I mean, that's pretty much what I've been playing, but besides your usual like Smite and the normal stuff. I got Majora's Mask on 3DS now too, and I've never played Majora's Mask, so I'm going to start getting into that like this weekend.
Nice. Hey, did either of you watch Last Man on Earth last week?
It's downloading right now. I'm I have to see it. It's going to be really funny. So
you got something on your face, Jeremy.
Yeah, you got something on your face, Jeremy. Look like a. Oh yeah, no, that's a dick mouse.
King dick.
I'm a king.
Everyone's like, what?
Yeah, we're using Google Hangouts, so he just added Google Draw, and he's just been drawing a dick on his face.
And a crown. He drew a dick on his own face.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's the it's really funny. I watched it this week.
Yeah, a lot of people said
Last Man on Earth. It was surprisingly good. I had no expectations going into watching it, and literally the first episode is really like two episodes together, and I was laughing so hard, and it was so smart and like clever in a way that I did not expect that show to be.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I have it ready and queued up, so
yeah,
I'm gonna watch that maybe tonight.
Do it.
So
do it.
All right, folks, that is our show. I am Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And we form together
the curious
wild stallions.
The curious little wild stallions you'll ever see on the Big A Big Geek Show. Yes, it is. It's a Big A Big Geek Show. And that's what we do. And that's what we do.
Where's that drop?
he was like in freeze frame mode. He was kind of creepy.
All right, bye everybody.
Bye.